Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
The story, if you read it in the paper, was a couple in County Meath, one frontline worker, who probably should have known better, have been fined €1,000 each after holding a house party, they're a couple by the way, for 30 people in breach of the COVID-19 regulations. The couple appeared before the court, charged under the Health Act of 1947 with breaching lockdown regulations on the 16th of May this year. The Gardaí visited the couple's address, looked in a window and saw six people sitting at a table. On admission to the house, they found 10 people inside and 10 more out in the garden. The only three people resident in the house were the accused and their young daughter was. The solicitor said there had been a number of house parties in Kells on the same day. She acknowledged that the frontline worker should have known better, and some people had arrived in Ireland from Poland and had to come to say hello and goodbye. She said, okay, because they were foreign people, so obviously they said they had friends over from Poland who came over or whatever it was to see them. Separately, another two people were fined, 400, and another person, 1,200, for breaching COVID regulations by travelling outside the 5-kilometre limit, which was imposed at the time, from their homes. But tonight I want to know if you think these fines are a bit harsh. I mean, realistically, the powers we were led to believe that the guards were given at the time were to tell people to go home. I don't think we were expecting the guards to actually arrest people or charge people. You know, if you were going outside the guidelines or the regulations, it was a case if you were driving, the guard would say to you, because I remember the commissioner being on the TV and RT at the time, and he said the guards would be using a level of common sense. And they were telling people, you know, listen, where are you going? Is it a necessary journey? If not, can you turn around and go home, please? Because you're in breach of the guidelines. And not just pulling you over, taking your name and giving you a fine. But with this couple, that's exactly what they did. And they got a fine of €1,000 each, and then there was other people in court on the same day. Maybe it was the same guard, I don't know, maybe he was on the rampage that day. But another two people, €400 and €1,200 fine for breaching the COVID guidelines. And I want to know if you think it was right to do that. Was the judge right, or should he have just said, look, a warning? Because at the end of the day now, they do have a criminal conviction under the Health Act of 1947. They've been charged, convicted. Do you think it's fair? Was it a bit OTT? I mean, I suppose people will argue, well, if you don't fine people, there's no reason then for people to actually obey the law. Well, there is, because the guards will tell you to obey the law. And most people are quite compliant when the guards tell them to be compliant. Some people probably won't be, but most people are. So let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. These are the first fines to be given under the Health Act of 1947. And I want to know if you agree with it, people getting fines for breaching guidelines. Let me know what you think. 087-188-0008. Dermot, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Dermot?
Yeah, good evening to you.
Good evening, Dermot. Okay, Dermot, I mean, look, the guidelines were in place, et cetera, et cetera. They were stricter in around that time in May anyway. But, I mean, was it fair to fine people?
My opinion is this, that everybody is given one stern warning. And if guards arrive, they get a call to arrive at a particular premises, or a house, and there is a party going on and they're breaking the rules, the guards come in and they just lay the law down. They say, this is the way it is. Break this thing up now, and we leave it at that. If we have to come back here a second time, you are going to court and you will be fined and you will be convicted. Leave it at that and off you go. If they come back the following Saturday or 2 weeks later and they get another complaint, or they come back just nosing around and they see the same premises up to the same carry on, well then, yeah, you go in, you say, we were here 2 weeks ago, we gave you a warning, you disobeyed the warning, you are now going to court. And that's it. I don't believe in a first case conviction. I believe you should be given a fair warning, told.
So in other words, the guard, in this case, the guard should have went into the house and said, listen, the lot of yous, go home now. Come on, off you go.
We're breaking it up now, but this is the rules. And you do realise that if we have to come back here again, that we will be fining you and you will be convicted.
And the argument is, well, you can't be doing that because that'll be wasting the guards' time to have to go back to them a second time. They shouldn't have done it in the first place. And the argument is also, this is a frontline worker. Now, when they say a frontline worker, I don't know whether they're a guard or they're a nurse or a doctor or whatever it was. They should have known better. I mean, their own solicitor said they should have known better.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. It depends on
okay. Let's take this to the end result. So the lads that were down having their golf outing in Kerry recently, or in Clifton, should I say, in Galway recently, they get off with a warning?
No.
Oh, why? Oh, they're different. Are they?
Well, look. If you were stopped on the way home tonight talking on your mobile phone and a guard pulled you in, would you get away with a warning?
No, I probably wouldn't. I don't know. Well, I don't know. I don't know.
I doubt it very much. I doubt it very much. It's the discretion of the guards. And unfortunately, the discretion of the guards is like everything else in this country, has gone out the window. The days of a guard's discretion was a wonderful thing because they were great men, and then 20, 30 years ago, they had discretion. And they could, you know, they weren't, you didn't necessarily have to fine, you didn't necessarily have to do anything like that. So in the case of the Clifton Brigade and, what's his name, Hogan on the phone and the whole nine yards, they all got away.
The golf party, yeah, Golfgate.
Yeah, well, that's it, Golfgate. And
but do you think, by the way, do you think all those involved in Golfgate, should they all be fined?
But they're not going to be, it's over. That's done.
Well, it's not over. The guards are still investigating that. There's still an ongoing investigation.
All right. I'll tell you what we'll do. Me and you, we'll talk about this in 6 months' time or whatever and see has there been anything taken further on that. There will not be anything taken further because these people are privileged people. They are wealthy people. They are public people. And you were not. And I'm telling you, and you keep this on your recorder forevermore, they are never going to find these people. That is swept under the carpet. It's done and dusted. The big hullabaloo about what's his name, Hogan on his phone, is gone by the wayside. It is what it is, and I can live with that. That's the way the Irish nod and wink thing is. But in the case of your question, should people be fined on a first offence in this situation? They're not criminals. In theory, they are breaking the law. But Jesus Christ, they're not criminals. They're all just having a bit of a get together. Whatever. They should be given a stern warning, told the consequences if it happens a second time. And if it happens a second time, throw the fucking book at them, 100%. But no, I don't believe in the guards barging in with...
Okay, there's a text here that says, no, what's the point in having legislation and fines if people don't get it?
It's a fair point. I don't know. I mean, in theory, if you want to go by the rule of law, absolutely, anybody breaks any law, there should be no discretion on it, and there should be no nods and winks. Everybody should face the rigors of the law. But in my opinion, it depends on what you're breaking. You see, this is a strange time we're living in. But these are not criminals. You're talking about a criminal act. You're talking about Steve, the good old bollocky Steve from years ago, breaking in as a burglar and knocking women around and all this carry on. No, there should be no, in a case like that, there should be no nod and wink. You get the rigor of the law. But in this case, these people are just together having a drink, minding their own business. I agree we're living in strange times. And in years to come, and we will look back on this, and I hope Classic Hits in years to come will never erase the tapes of 2020.
Somebody sent me a really good meme last night, right? And it was Back to the Future. Yeah. And it was the doc, and he said to Marty, whatever you do, don't put in 2020.
Is that a fact? Yeah. But then, in other words, it was a skit. And I hope they never do, because it would be for future generations to listen to what we went through. They won't believe it.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. I mean, if you had said this to somebody a year ago, we wouldn't have believed you. Could you imagine a year ago if somebody said, this time next year, you won't be allowed to have more than six people in your gaff.
Nobody. Are the guards
who quit your house and arrest you? Nobody would have believed you.
Nobody would believe anything. It's just, it's dizzying.
Can I just say, there is a bit of a pushback. I mean, we had the Oroctus Committee, there was a Supreme Court, ex-Supreme Court judge from the UK today saying that the government of this country would look back at the hysteria and bad decisions they made in relation to lockdowns and restrictions. Mm. We also had an Irish High Court judge say something very similar today in relation to the pubs. I'm looking at an article here in the Irish Times, because all of these articles actually happen to be in the Irish Times, which the Irish Times are a little bit of a pushback now at the moment as well. And it says, the article says, where is it here? Oh, yeah. Government overreacting to COVID. Where is it? Government overreacting to COVID-19. Fexco CEO claims, Dennis McCarthy says, daily NPHET briefings creating fear and uncertainty and suspicion. And the article goes on to basically say the government are completely overreacting and not taking into consideration the threat to human life, that human beings need to be together, etc., etc.
100%.
So there is a genuine pushback now. I mean, we spoke to Professor Collins the other day. We also spoke to Professor Moynagh from Maynooth University. We've spoken to many people who would be considered to be credible incredible people. And there is a little bit of a pushback now against, you know, these kind of restrictions that are impeding human
100%.
Life.
100%. We're talking draconian rules here that are being brought in by unelected people, and including in our very subject of people being allowed to socialise with each other in their own private residence. I mean, we are talking draconian rules. It is mental what's happening.
Okay, we'll say there. That's a whole other argument. Let me go back to the fines again. Marrying your own classic kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't agree that people taking the piss. I'm not one for just, you know, I do, you know, I always come across over the last couple of months that against NEFIN and against the government to get there. I'm not. I do believe that there has to be a certain amount of responsibility for your actions in this situation.
When you're making draconian rules, you have to be able to justify them. And of course, Leo Varadkar's saying that now because he's playing to the gallery. But stay there for a second, Dermot. Marion, you're on Classic Kids. How are you, Marion?
How are you?
Marion, how are you keeping? All right.
I'm keeping grand. Look, much of what your first guest has said makes so much sense. But as I said to you before, you know, before the lockdown was completely lifted, you had Leo Varadkar picnicking in the Phoenix Park. You had Breed Smith et al. Urging people to picket the American embassy. And you had all these, you know, and as you mentioned about Clifton, like a former Fianna Fáil TD, Áine Brady, from my constituency was present at Clifton. And I'm just looking, what is the point in these people lecturing? It's just Animal Farm all over again. Now, as your first guest said, like, there's a purpose to having rules. But why should we be paying while the likes of Sean O'Rourke from RTE seems to do what he wants? And the other thing about the complete hysteria, there are elderly people out there who are not able for these masks, as I said to you.
I know. Yeah, we talked about that, yeah.
They're not, yeah, without wasting time on that. I'm like, there are people literally living on their
But they
nerves.
Did. They did want to bring in on-the-spot fines. Now, it didn't happen there about 3 weeks ago. It was mentioned. It was kind of mooted in the papers. But it didn't actually happen. But they were going to bring... Now, there is a fine, obviously, you know, if it gets... Nobody, I don't think anybody's been fined yet. I don't know. Maybe they have. But they are bringing in, or they were meant to be bringing in, on-the-spot fines for not wearing masks. But I think it would be very difficult to police.
Did you... Yes. Sorry for just putting in there for one sec, Marion. Did you, by any chance, Niall, I'm sure you have seen... the English guy that was thrown off the EasyJet flight. Did you see it?
I did, but I've seen some bizarre situations on aeroplanes. I did see the guy.
Yeah, this poor man, and he's as it turned out, he was a really nice elderly man, and he had issues, the health issues, and he got on the plane, and somebody again, like everything else on social media, somebody filmed it, and the passengers were on the warpath because he wouldn't put a mask on. He's trying to explain it. Next minute, the staff, cabin crew came down, and a hullabaloo, and they fucked him off the plane.
Did they, like, manhandle him off the plane?
Pretty much, Tom would get off the plane if he wasn't going to put a mask on. And he did, and I don't know how...
I don't know how everybody has suddenly become the mask police.
He was being interviewed by the BBC, and he was in tears. He was absolutely devastated. And
That's horrible, isn't it?
Oh, this is the world we are living in.
Oh, no, but I mean, there's been two cases in America. I think it's Blue, whatever it is, and the other one, Southwest Airlines, and something Blue, JetBlue. And both of those, there's been videos up online where there was one woman and her two children were removed from a plane because her two-year-old wouldn't wear a mask.
Yeah, you know...
Her two-year-old wouldn't wear a mask because he started crying every time she tried to put it on him.
It's like human beings... keep it on right, even.
Yeah, human beings are strange creatures, and we are living in the weirdest time of all time. I don't even think of one.
But can you imagine? Look at the humanity we've lost when you see that, you know, they would call security to remove a mother and her two children. Now, I believe she's suing the airline, and they're sticking to their guns, by the way, but it's been all over American news. They called security to remove her and her two children from the flight. The flight was actually out on the runway. It went back in again to remove her from the flight because her two-year-old kept crying all the time because he's claustrophobic, seemingly, right? And he wouldn't leave the mask on his face. And because he wouldn't do that for her, they removed all three of them from the plane.
Another major concern that I have is you often find when they bring in draconian legislation and it's only supposed to be temporary, it remains permanent.
Well, the current legislation at the moment expires very shortly. I think it's November, actually, the start of November.
Yeah, and I live in hope that something doesn't happen in between now and then.
To be fair, Marion, it is here to stay. There's nothing changing. We're not going to wake up
on a particular Monday morning in October, November, Spanish. December.
Yeah.
And suddenly they're going to say, okay, we've lifted this law, we've lifted that law. We have draconian rules in place, and as long as this virus is alive and we have no way of curing it, nothing is moving. Nothing is moving.
No, I agree with you there.
No, 100%.
Yeah, and
nothing is happening, and people that are...
And what should happen? What, Dermot, okay, I'm going to give you a job. Tomorrow morning, you're in charge of the country. You make all the decisions, right?
Mm.
What would you do?
And you're talking about if the likes of NPHET, if you have a lot of doctors...
No, you don't even have NPHET to answer to. You'd nobody to answer to. You wake up tomorrow morning, it's your job. What would you do? Would you lift all the restrictions and go back to the way
we were? I would lift all the restrictions. I would absolutely, and this is the way I do it, I'd open the goddamn country, I'd open the pub, I'd open everything, and then watch what happens. Now, okay, you might say, well, then there might be deaths here, there might be deaths there. Look, there is going to be deaths. We cannot defeat... Without a vaccine,
you agree that there has to be trade-offs in life, is what you're saying?
No, no, no.
Is that what you're saying?
Hang on. Without a vaccine, human beings, this virus is superior to human beings. It always was and it always will be. And until we find a vaccine that will cure the world and get rid of this virus, we are fighting a losing battle. But we have to go forward.
So your theory is quality of life is more important than longevity of life. Okay. All right.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Marion. What do you want to say there? Okay, Marion, same question. You're in charge of the country tomorrow. What would you do?
Well, I think a gradual lift up in a sensible way. You can't keep, like, only six are allowed in a house. This is completely bizarre. It's like the Soviet Union. But yet, the contradiction is that you can have 50 at a funeral and then...
50 at a wedding.
As I said, yeah, whatever. And I went to a restaurant last week and somehow with me wearing a mask up to the table... The virus is contained.
Well, I heard a shocking story there where a young couple, a young girl was in hospital getting bad news about her pregnancy. I think she had miscarried and she had to go into hospital. Her husband wasn't allowed in with her, even he wasn't allowed in even for the scan, for nothing. She had to go in on her own. But in saying that, they went out when all was said and done and they got over it. And 2 weeks later, obviously, she was out of hospital. And I'm not saying everything was grand, but they were moving on, trying to move on with their lives. They went out to a restaurant for a meal together. And they said that what was bizarre about it is we can go to a restaurant, sit beside each other and have a meal with staff all around us. But healthcare workers who are trained to work in sterile environments wouldn't allow her husband in when she was having the worst news of her life, which I think just goes to show you the hypocrisy and the stupidness of the whole thing.
The stupidity, the scientific evidence just doesn't add up. And I have friends who are medics, you know, doctors, and I was saying what I thought and what was their opinion. And both of them, one's the NHS, the other's employed by the HSE. And the whole thing is suppressing the virus just makes it remains as aggressive as ever. It shouldn't, it's like...
You can't stop a virus.
You cannot stop a virus. And that's
I don't think we've ever done that in history. We've become immune to viruses through vaccines or through herd immunity. But we have never, as human beings, as far as I know, from any virus that I can think of offhand, have been successful. I mean, look, bird flu is still around, swine flu is still around, influenza is still around. We have never suppressed a virus.
And not just the specialist in virology and all the rest. And they were even saying... And the herd immunity of the younger and healthy generation would protect the elderly.
Of course it would.
The question,
we're not allowing that to happen, unfortunately.
Nobody has an answer to, and that is, what happens if they cannot find a cure for this virus?
Well, they haven't found a cure for HIV. They've never found a cure for influenza. When I say a cure, there's treatments out there that can help, like paracetamol, that can reduce your temperature and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They don't have a cure for swine flu. They did have Tamiflu for a while, which was helpful, but as far as I know, they don't use that anymore. But there was a vaccine at one stage for swine flu, but they took it back off the market because of the side effects. So, we haven't been very successful at curing viruses. Some viruses we've had vaccines for, some.
And absolutely nobody is, like, everybody's of the opinion when, the famous word is,
The biggest hope they had was the one from Oxford University, which we had people on. We interviewed people about it, and most of the stations and television stations were talking about this. But they thought it was going to be the big hope, the one from Oxford University. Donald Trump even mentioned it at one stage. That's gone now, because unfortunately somebody got serious side effects.
My friend's mother would be a retired nurse, and I was in discussion with her. And I do recall, a couple of years ago, outbreak of meningitis. Now, my brother-in-law...
I remember that.
Developed meningitis and he ended up severely disabled, and people do die from it.
Of course they do, badly brain damaged.
But the schools are closing. The thing about it is,
and you know, we're all here for a very short time in the bigger picture of the planet Earth and everything in it. We are all here for a minute second in the life of this world, and I have no, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, I have no sympathy for the human race. I have I'm included in that, obviously, but I fuck all sympathy for the human race, because we have this as a minute micro fucking orgasm or organism or whatever you want to call
orgasm.
It. That's our orgasm. It's a nice word. that is all we are. That's all we are in the natural world. We are nothing in the natural world. We come onto this planet and we now are pillaging, raping it, ruining it, destroying wildlife, destroying nature, destroying everything. And we have this opinion that because we are a superior race to the dogs and the cats and the elephants and the giraffes and the whole lot, that we are immune to something. And nature is telling us to go fuck ourselves, because we will... Oh, in another certain term, this virus is telling us...
Well, there are a lot of people that do have that opinion. This is nature's way of culling the population or reducing the population. That's always happened. Okay, but there are some who have that opinion. Let me get back to the fines again. Sorry. Davis, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Davis?
Hi, David. How are you? How are you doing? Glad to be on. No, first time on the radio show. Glad to hear. First time on live as well.
Oh, good. Glad to hear you're on first time. And I'm delighted to have you on the air. Okay, is it wrong to be fining people for breaking the regulations, Davis?
No, they should be fined.
Okay.
Definitely should be fine. I'll tell you, them three people you have talking on, that gentleman was talking on, he's making sense about the nature, but that older lady was on, talking about that she knows the nurse here and there. Can you put her on for a second? I want to ask her a question.
Yeah, go ahead, ask her a question. Yeah.
Yes?
About Marion.
What would you do if you're in charge tomorrow and you're asked stuff, what would you do for the country tomorrow after lockdown? If you're asked to lockdown the country, what would you do? If you're in charge, and you're in charge.
But she did say already she would remove the restrictions over time.
Right. Yeah. Right. What I do, I totally lock down the whole country.
Would you?
Oh,
can I just say...
No, let him finish. Let him finish.
I'm not going to talk to you.
You'd lock down the whole country. Now, when you say lock down the country, let me just get the minor details of that.
Yes.
So you'd close the airport, you'd close the businesses, you'd tell everybody they can't... Would you say you can't leave your home?
No. What I'm saying is, if I was in charge tomorrow...
Okay, yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I'd explain how I'm going to... close out the country.
Okay.
The people who are working from home will work from home.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Okay, Boris. Okay.
The pubs will close completely, right?
Yeah.
The restaurants will close completely. Yeah. Only delivery food. Now, the reason why the pubs are closed, right?
Yeah.
If the pubs are coming back in, open up, okay?
Yeah.
And a small pub is only six people allowed, and the six people have a pub, right?
Yeah.
And he's depending on these six people every week from the social welfare, okay?
Yeah.
They come in for the few pints of the social welfare morning, go home then. They'd buy the pie, they'd buy the pizza for the 9.50. He's buying it for 2 years, okay? Johnny Soap walks across the road. He's a millionaire, okay?
Yeah.
Right. He walks in, can I have a brandy, please? And Johnny Soap was never in the place before, because with the lockdown now, he's a space to drink. He's not going to be annoyed by the social help people. He's the two brandies going home. He gets
the back
barman.
Where is he going with this?
What do you owe? You have a business out there. Yeah, I'm doing the regulations here. The pub is trying to serve pizzas. No. Yeah. So, people. Please. Now, hang on. Let me finish my story then.
I'm dying to know where he's going with this.
I'm dying to know where you're going with this.
Hold on.
Yeah.
That's the pubs, right?
That's the pubs, yeah, go on.
Right. Now, the reason why you heard it said about...
lock down the country. Yeah, go on.
You said about the house parties.
Yeah.
Right, the house parties will go there. They should be fine. Now, listen, the reason why they should be fine, right? There was a house starting party down here in County Louth the other night, right?
Yeah.
I heard people coming in, right?
Yeah.
And I knew the girls. And there were six girls, right?
Yeah.
And I said, girl, I seen the breathing cans. I said, look, girls, are you going to throw up the music, have a party? She said, we can go to the local pub, but Mary can't get in. She's barred. I said, when did this happen? He said, oh, about 4 months before the virus.
There's an awful nosy fella. Go on,
but
yeah,
she
go on.
Can't get in. I went up to the barman. I said, look, the girls will have to get a few cans here. Mary, oh no, we can't let her let her friends up. But I said, that's before the fire, surely wants a few.
Oh,
pints.
Listen there,
Ed. Where is he going?
Right. So I went into the girls, I said, look, at the barber said you have a think about it. Just behave yourself. I'm telling you, at this
where are we going? Saying, where are you going? Davis, where are you going with this argument?
They have a vaccine for the virus. They have a vaccine for the virus before you finish.
Right.
So, just get to the point, David. It is radio. We're limited to the amount of time we can let people on the air. So, David, did you tell the people that were having the party, the six girls, that you would report them to the police?
No, because that was the law. You bar from a pub, she'll bar from a pub.
Okay, but they weren't meant to, six people who aren't from the same family are not meant to be having a party.
There was no loud music.
But it doesn't matter about the loud music. They're not allowed. If you're six people from six different households, you're not allowed to have a party. Did you report them?
No.
No, of course you didn't report them.
Niall.
Okay, so if you were the Taoiseach tomorrow, you'd lock down the whole country. For how long? For how long, Davis?
For how long?
Yeah, months.
You'd have to lock down until the virus is totally gone.
Oh, and right, okay. Best of luck with that, so.
Right,
they crushed the virus.
You used to be talking about this virus. We have to live with this virus, right?
Yeah.
There's no cure, right?
Yeah.
We're going to live with this and live with it.
But you don't want to live with it. You just want to get rid of it altogether.
No, I never said that.
You did. You just said till it's gone. You'd lock down till it's gone.
Yes.
Can I get in there?
That won't be long.
Think so? Yeah. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Dermot, go ahead.
Can I ask you one question, then?
David.
Can I ask you one more question?
Wait, David. Dermot wants to ask you a question. Hang on, David.
David, have you got a roll of tinfoil handy? Make yourself a hat and stick it on your head and go out and howl and throw rocks at the moon.
See, that's you again. That's who you said about going up the town.
You're the greatest airhead I've ever had.
You're the one spreading the virus. You were saying about going up the town.
No, David.
So you're not doing it. You're not keeping it, you see.
Just be logical, David.
You're not keeping it.
Try and be logical, David.
The problem with you is you're probably barred from the pub, you see, you can't get back in.
No,
when you have
to
go to your license, to buy your cans and to smoke your joint. Because poor little man's barred from his local pub.
Hang on. David, stop for a second, will you, for Jesus' sake.
I'm trying to ask you a logical question.
He's still talking.
Yeah, all right.
That's realistic.
If I hire him up, he's still talking.
No, that's realistic. That is realistic.
All right,
I'm
David.
Saying about him.
Yeah. Okay, David, can I ask you a question?
No problem.
Will you answer a question if I ask it?
We
lock down the country, we close the airport, we shut all businesses down, everybody stays at home, and we lock it down, and the virus goes down.
Goes away.
Monday, it says, on a Monday morning, it says, we have zero cases, zero deaths, zero everything, and everybody slaps each other in the back. And then what do you do? You open the country up.
No.
Yeah?
No.
No?
No.
No, you don't.
No, what do you do then?
No, what do you do is...
What do you do then, head of Nefis? What do you do then? So, David, I'm working with you on your plan here, right? So you lock down the country. We wake up on a Monday morning in a month and a half, and head of Nefis, your pals, turn around and they say, no cases, no deaths today, virus is gone, we're COVID-free. So then what do you do?
Okay. I lock down the country tomorrow, okay? I'm the Taoiseach, right? I'm going to lock down the country tomorrow, okay?
Could you imagine? Yeah, go. So, David, just actually, you don't have to repeat everything I said, okay? I've given you the scenario. So we're COVID-free now. We've done your deal. We've locked down the country. Now we're COVID-free. So what do we do now?
Well, right, what we do is, the people at home, working from home, stay working from home, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Everybody who's working with these big companies who were working in the office can work at home, will work at home.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm a builder, say, right, and if I had to drive from Low to, just say, Monaghan.
Right.
Right, and I get picked up in Monaghan, right, or go to the site.
Right.
Oh,
right, I'd say to the dealer before we look at, if I friends, right, they had to pick me up. I'm living in County Loud. I'm too scared to go to work right for the moment.
You know what?
In case I get the virus, okay?
But we just told you there's no virus.
David, I was depressed before you came on. I'm more depressed now. I'm
but
looking
the virus
at the cops over there.
But David, most experts in the world will tell you you can't get rid of the virus, because if we become virus-free in this island, it means we could never let a tourist into the country again.
No, they will get back into the country. If they do the job properly over the country, everybody...
Can I go on holidays again?
No. If everybody works together.
No holidays.
You saw earlier on talk about this mask, that mask, walking down the street, going here, can't go there.
Do you wear a mask?
So, yes, when I go out.
All right,
into a shop.
Right.
Only into a shop.
Right,
walking on the street, no, I don't.
Right.
Walking into a shop, I keep it in my pocket. Get into a shop, I wear the mask.
Right.
To be honest with you, David, I think you are the one, and I mean this with no disrespect to you. I think you're the greatest clown. You're one of the greatest clowns I've ever heard.
How can you say that with no disrespect?
I say you have the biggest red nose on you. And
well, what would you then, Noel?
He told you. He told you what he would do. He'd open everything up.
And then what? Yeah. People
and
die?
Watch and control.
Okay. What people watch start, God forbid. All right, you open the country up, okay? And two, yeah. God forbid, 2 days later, right, you hear in the news, oh shit, 15 people are after dying. The virus is going up. Okay, what would you do?
Where is the infections?
Correct, yeah. Right, yep. What would you do then?
And then what you do is, you control the infection. You don't, if the infections are in Dublin, you don't close a pub down in fucking Dingle and County Kerry, which is 200 miles.
In fairness, they're not really doing that at the moment anyway.
Right, can I answer that question, right?
But I think I'd answer for him. I mean, I wouldn't think that would happen, by the way, because most experts believe that we're not going to go back to a situation that we went back to in May and April. But in saying that, if the death rates started to climb, I think we'd have to examine the groups that are being affected by it, and we need to protect those groups, which we should have done from the very, very start. So the vulnerable groups, this virus attacks particular vulnerable groups, usually elderly people or people with comorbidities. So what you do then, David, is you protect those groups. You don't have to protect everybody.
No. Can I answer that gentleman's question about the pub in Dublin? You can't close the pub down in Dublin, right?
He's back to pubs again. Dermot, who's barred from the pub? Yeah, go on.
I answered that question. He said that you can't close down the pub. Look, yes, you can, because who were the people drinking in the pub then? They could be from anywhere. Dublin's a big city. It's not a local pub down the country where you're fit to trace the local people. Dublin is a big sort. A pub of Dublin who's very busy.
Do you like the dubs, Dave?
And that is exactly...
I know probably anybody from around the country.
That is exactly the point I'm making.
Yeah. Where are you from, David?
That is the point I'm making.
David, where are you from?
I'm County Louth.
Merton, County Louth. I thought your name was Merton, but it's not.
if you want to joke, I'll just answer your question what I do. I said, how will you close a pub down the road? You have to trace all the people who's in there.
Whereabouts in County Louth are you from?
Doesn't matter whereabouts in County Louth.
What are you asking? You don't have to give me your address.
Dundalk, Drogheda.
You can't answer the question, can you, about the pub in Dublin?
Did you ever hear the old analogy, David? Just answer the fucking question. you're an absolute
oddball. He's a hell, isn't he?
I appreciate...
David, don't mind him. I'm delighted you came on tonight. You cheered everybody up.
If I was in that pub, okay? Listen to you. And your friend says, oh shit, that was the pub that got locked down, right?
Yeah.
And I was in that pub, and I was on the radio show, and I was in that pub, and I drove down.
You've a bit of a cough there, David. Are you all right?
And I said, oh shit, so I was in that pub. How would no one know that I was in that pub?
Can I ask you another question, David?
The point he's making, Dermot, is in Dublin you've got obviously more traffic in a pub than you would in rural Ireland.
I know who's in my local pub here in County Louth, because I'm
David,
not barred, you see.
Hold on, David, that's the point. If you listen, Kells, that's the point I've made. You're talking about locking the country down. If they'll open the country up, and if they find that David and all his friends in wherever you live in County Louth...
I reckon he lives in Kells. Is that a good guess, David?
It doesn't matter where he lives.
I'm only asking.
It doesn't matter Timbuktu or Kells or anywhere. It's still a fucking pub, isn't it? You clown, yeah. How do you know I'm not in the pub?
How do you know he isn't in the pub right
How
now?
How do you know I'm not in the pub, you clown? No, David, how do you know I'm not in the pub?
Do you know Angelo's shipper?
That's David
from
Hanging Out on the Radio Show.
Do you know Angelo's chipper?
Do you? I'm wearing a mask in there, though.
In Angelo's shipper?
Lads,
on that note, listen, I'm going to wrap it up. Dave, it was lovely having you on for the first time. I'm sure we'll hear you again.
I'm going to talk about that, lad. He'll be barred anywhere.
Never ring me again.
The show, that's why he's barred, man.
See you, Dermot. See you, David. Good night to you. All right, loads and loads of people text you. Somebody says that guy is a hoot. He is. He's mad as a brush. Yeah, absolutely. Boy, that David fella must be living up in the mountains or somewhere. No, he's in Loud, County Loud.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.